Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, join Jeremy Pearsons for a study on unlocking the favor of God. As ministers of the gospel, every believer must take the time to get into God's Word to discern the will of the Father.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and it is my thrill and honor to be on this broadcast with you for the next 2 weeks. And I'm so thankful to my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, for allowing me this opportunity just to come into your home or your office or wherever it is you're watching this broadcast. I know we have people that watch this broadcast however they can get a hold of it. You might be streaming it on your phone, watching on your iPad, or maybe just good old-fashioned TV. But whatever way you are getting the Word of God into your life, I'm just thrilled and honored to get to be a part of that with you. We're going to go before the Lord and pray and get right into the Word. Father, thank you so much today for your Word. We are so thankful to know you. We are so thankful to be known by you. Today we come boldly before your Word, and we're asking you to give us eyes that see Jesus in your Word, ears that hear his voice, the voice of our good shepherd who leads us out. And we thank you for giving us hearts that are open, wide, and ready to receive and understand who we are in Jesus and who Jesus is in us. We thank you for this today, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, we are going to get into the Word today over the course of this week and on into next week. And I'm so stirred up on the inside, so excited about some of the things the Lord is going to have us talking about. So I want to make sure you get your Bible, get into this with us, do whatever it takes to make the Word of God a priority in your life. Not just a priority, the priority. When you give His Word first word, last word, and every word in between, that's what it is to honor Him. That's what it is to honor His Word. And when you do that, His Word can and will honor you. You will be honored with the presence of God in your life. You will be honored with manifestations of Jesus in your home, in your body, in your finances, in your where you work, and everything you set your hand to do. When God has honored you, you know it. And it only comes from you taking time to honor Him and His Word and giving His Word first place. So let's get into the Word of God today. I want to go, first of all, to the book of Luke. And we're going to begin in chapter 2. And some of you who know, a lot of times when I'm on these broadcasts, we take a day or so just to kind of lay our foundation and get where we're going. But I want you to get excited about it because we've got good things just ahead. Luke chapter 2. And as we get into this, let me start by asking you this question. Let me get you to think back. And what do you remember about those first early days, early years of Jesus' life on this earth? If you've been born again, really for any time at all, and you're familiar at all with the life and the ministry of Jesus, you think back on those first few years. And if you remember, and you may, there was kind of a big deal made out of His birth. You remember that? Kind of a big deal. Sky full of angels, star in the sky. Some of this probably rings a bell to you. Kind of a big deal about His birth. But then it seems like those next 30 years just sort of disappear, and we don't really know a whole lot. And people want to speculate, well, we don't really know about those early years of Jesus' childhood, those years Jesus as a teenager. What was Jesus like as a teenager? Because it just seems like we pick up with His life 30 years later when He's being launched into this ministry. But I want to tell you something, just from the few verses that we do have that look into those first few years, I believe we know everything we need to know. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Luke chapter 2, and in verse 39, this is just after Jesus has been brought to the temple and dedicated as a young child. It says, when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child, Jesus, grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Now notice this, and the grace of God was on him. So this is what was happening in Jesus' life. From the beginning, like from the get-go, He is growing. And He's not just growing physically like any young person would, but He's growing in strong in spirit. He's being filled with the wisdom of God. And here's the big one. And the grace of God was on Him. Then you fast forward about 12 years or so, but you're in the same chapter in the book of Luke. And right around verse 49. This is just after Mary had turned to Joseph and said, I thought you had him. And Joseph turned to Mary and said, I thought you had him. And nobody could find Jesus. These people who God have entrusted with his son have just lost the Messiah. They don't know where he is. So they're looking for him. They come back to Jerusalem. They come back to find him. And they find him in verse 49, verse 48. This is a very classic mom thing to say here. They lost him, but mom, in a very classic mother tone, son, why have you done this to us? Isn't that a classic mom thing to say? You did this to me. But Jesus said to her, verse 49, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Verse 50, they didn't understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. Now notice this in verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men. So early on, those first few days, weeks, months, even the first few years of his life, what do we see is going on? He's increasing in wisdom. He's being strong in spirit, and the grace of God was on him. 12 years later, what's going on? He is increasing still in wisdom. He's increasing in stature, and he is increasing, growing in favor with God and men. Now, I want you to either circle or underline, do whatever it takes to draw your attention to this word favor in the scripture. Because this word favor in verse 52 is the exact same word that got translated grace back in verse 40. So in verse 40, just after his dedication, and you see that the grace of God is on him, 12 years later, you see the exact same thing is going on. The grace of God is on him, and he's growing in grace, and he's growing in grace. What did Jesus do for the first 12 years of his life? He grew in grace and increased in wisdom and grew in the Spirit and grew in grace and increased in grace. That's what was happening throughout this entire time period in the life of Jesus. And the next thing you know, we see him as around 30 years old being launched out into his ministry. What was happening over those first 30 years of Jesus' life? He was growing in the grace that was on him. He was growing in favor with God and men and increasing in the grace and growing in it and growing in it and growing in it and growing in it. And Jesus spent so long doing this one thing, growing in the grace of God that was on him, growing in the grace of God that was in him. He spent so long, 30 years growing in that, until you see in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. That word beheld means we could see it. We could see his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus grew in it and grew in it and grew in it and increased in it for 30 years, for so long, till the point he got so full of grace and full of truth that verse 16 says, and of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Jesus, growing in grace for 30 years, got so full of that grace and the truth and the wisdom and the Spirit of God that he literally began to overflow with it. And that's what people saw. That's what people received from. You look back at his life and you think, why were there no miracles? Why was little three-year-old Jesus not performing any miracles? And you think to yourself, and I would think the same thing, if I were God, which I'm not and you're not, but if we were and we wanted to send our son into the world and want the whole world to know that this is it. This is him. He's the one. This is the Messiah. Everybody look at this one. You might think, you know, you could really catch some people's attention if you've got little toddler Jesus laying hands on other little toddlers and seeing them rise and walk. This toddler took his first steps because little Jesus laid hands on him. What about 10-year-old Jesus? Where were the messages? Why wasn't he preaching anything at 10, at 12, all through his teenage years? Why were there no miracles? Why were there no signs, no wonders? All through his 20s, why don't we see anything? Why wasn't God having him preach and lay hands on the sick and raise the dead? Let me tell you why. Because he wasn't done growing in his grace. He spent those first 30 years doing one thing and one thing only, growing in the grace of God that was on his life. And he grew in it to the point that he got full of that grace, and then past that point of fullness, he began to overflow. And every miracle, every message, every sign and every wonder is a manifestation of the overflow of that grace. That's why John said, of his fullness, we have all received. Jesus got so full that at that point is when the people around him began to receive from him. That's when the people began to receive the revelation and insight. That's when people began to get their healings from this miracle worker. That's when the dead got up. That's when the blind could see. It was out of the overflow of the grace and the favor of God that was on him. And that's what these people received. Now, the truth is, the people in your life and the people in mine, they are receiving whatever we are overflowing with. Whatever is in you and filling you up and overflowing out of you, that's what the people around you are getting. They're getting whatever you're full of. If I can just be as bold to say it like that, the people around you are receiving from you whatever you're full of. Now, you are either full of yourself or you are full of Jesus. And as wonderful as I'm sure you are, I'm quite sure every person watching this broadcast is just a lovely person. But the truth is, the people around you, they don't need more of you. They need more of Jesus. The people in your family, your husband, your wife, your kids, they don't need more of you. They may have already gotten their fill. What they need is more of Jesus. The church you belong to, that church doesn't need more of you. It needs more of Jesus in you. They need that church, your business, your family, the people in your life. Here's what they need. They need you growing in the grace of God that is on your life, not the grace that's on somebody else's life, not the calling and the anointing that's on somebody else's life, somebody else's ministry, somebody else's family. They need you growing in the grace that Jesus has put on you and in you, and they need you filling up with that, and they need you overflowing with that. That's what your city needs. And churches that are planted in cities, let me tell you something, pastors, the city doesn't need more of you. They need more of Jesus in you. They need you filling up on the grace of God that's on your church. Do you know what's possible? And I know this from experience. As a minister or in any arena of life, it's possible to become more familiar with the anointing that's on somebody else's life than you are with the one on your own. You can get to the place where you study after people, and maybe they're wonderful people called by God, used by God, and they're having great results in their ministries, in their churches, in their families, in whatever arena. But if you come to the place where you study that so much and you study that person and what they do and how they do it, pretty soon you're going to start this deadly game of comparison where you compare what you see in them to what you see in you. And you can get so familiar with the calling and the assignment on their life that you completely neglect the one that's on your own. You and I should be growing in the grace that's on our lives. You've got an assignment. There's a call on your life to do what God has called you to do, to be who He's called you to be. That's what your family needs. Husbands, this is what your wife needs. She needs you filling up with Jesus, filling up with His nature and His goodness and His character. And then she needs you overflowing with that. Not overflowing with a piece of your mind, not overflowing with your own opinion, not overflowing with your perspective. They need you in your home with your face in this book and your ears turn towards the voice of your good shepherd, Jesus himself, finding out, okay, what do we do here? What move do we make? What step do we take? And then overflow with that onto the people around you. This is what Jesus did for 30 years. And I love that the scripture shows us that this began right there, even as he's being dedicated, as a little baby, as a little child. Even in that dedication, we see right away the grace of God is on him. So no matter what age you are watching this, and maybe you're like me, I've got two little ones at home right now. I've got Justice James, who's my little four-year-old, and now we have Jessie Grace, and she is, by the time you see this, she'll be just over one. And, you know, right now, I'm telling you right now, my wife Sarah and I, we are all eyes, we are all ears, looking, watching for the grace of God that's on their lives. And maybe you've got little children in your home right now. Let me tell you something. It's not too early to start asking the Lord, what's the grace that's on their life? I'm watching for it. I'm looking for it in Justice. Jessie, you know, she's one. So right now her grace is to be cute and she's doing a great job at it. She is just the cutest thing that has ever crawled and she's just adorable. And Justice, he's 4 years old. This little man of God, this little adorable ball of energy and joy. We're watching, we're looking for the grace that's on his life. What is it, Lord? Show it to us. Because the moment we as parents identify the grace that's on him, the grace that's in him, then our lives become about feeding that. Our lives become about nourishing that thing in him. And we're watching for it right now. I love seeing this develop in my little boy. He's, like I said, he's 4 years old. And for the last year, year and a half, I noticed this thing coming out in him. And it seems to me he's got this amazing ability to remember. And we, like other parents, bedtime is this whole ritual that begins, you know, an hour before with bath time and everything that goes along with that. And we play with the toys and we do all that and we get out and we do the drying off game and we do the get ready for bed game. And then he begs us, can I stay up for 4 more minutes? He has no concept of time. That's evidently not the grace he's growing in yet. He's just begging always, 4 more minutes, Daddy, 4 more minutes. Yes, you can stay up for 4 more minutes. And so we're reading to him. And I noticed he always wanted to hear the story of David and Goliath. So he's got these children's Bibles and I would read to him David and Goliath. And I got to the point where I'd read this story to him so many times that I noticed he started saying it along with me. And he's probably just barely 3 years old at this point. And he's saying the story along with me. I thought, well, that's impressive. So I got to the point then where I would start to leave out words in the story to see if he would fill them in, and he would. And then I would leave out a whole sentence. I'd lead him up to the sentence and he could finish the whole sentence. Then it got to the point where Justice, as a three-year-old, could quote the entire page just by looking at the picture that was on the page. And I'm astounded at this. And if you're sitting there going, yeah, Jeremy, every three-year-old does this, fine, don't tell me. I don't want to know that. Because in my mind, this kid is special, all right? In my mind, this is unique. This is the grace that he's growing in. And it got to the point where this little guy was remembering this story over and over. And of course, we're reading David and Goliath over and over. But then I would go get a book that we hadn't looked at in, I don't know, weeks. And I would do the same thing with that story. And he remembered it. It was sticking with him. And I know that might sound like a little thing to you. And maybe it is, maybe it's not. But this is how acutely Sarah and I are tuned in right now to the grace of God that's on our kids' life. Lord, is this it? And the interesting thing to me about that is my parents tell this story, my grandparents tell this story. If you've ever heard my grandfather introduce me in a service or on a broadcast, you've heard this story. He tells about the time when I was 4 years old, my parents had gotten me these tapes with Bible stories on them. And they would play these stories, narrated by Pat Boone. And it was Bible stories. It was David and Goliath. It was Jonah and the whale. It was Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they would play these tapes in my room, play them as I would go to sleep, play them as I was playing in the room. And I don't know how long we'd had the tapes, but as the story goes, I came into Mom and Dad's room one day and said, do you want to hear a story? And they said, sure. And much to their amazement and surprise, I quoted about three of those little stories all right in a row. And I think they were probably all 4 or 5 minutes long each. So here's this little 3 and 4 year old little boy just reciting verbatim all of these stories right in a row. And of course they were astounded, and it turned into this whole thing. And I told mom, if you get me a three-piece suit, because that's what Papa wore at that time, if you get me a three-piece suit and a watch pocket, because that's what Papa had. He had the watch that had the chain on it that went into the little pocket in the vest. And I wanted that. And I said, if you get me one of those, I'll preach. And she did, and I did, and my dad got it on video because he has everything on video, and you can watch it in the Pearson's Family Library today. He's got on video me at my great-grandmother's Bible class reciting all of these Bible stories. And I remember not long ago, I was preaching along these lines and telling that story, and it dawned on me at that point, I'm 34 years old sitting here today. And I looked back at that and I thought, that was 30 years ago. And by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, by the help of God and good parents, I've been growing in my grace for 30 years. That's why I'm so watching this right now with justice. That's why you should be watching this with your little ones, your children, your grandchildren, finding out what's the grace of God that's on their life. And in the last few moments of this broadcast, we're finally getting to the place here where I can begin to lay the foundation of where we're headed. But I want you to notice the things that Jesus grew in. These are not just random things. These are things pinpointed and pulled out by the Spirit of God. And it says this, He increased, number one, in wisdom. How do you increase in wisdom? Most of you know it doesn't just happen. There's a lot of people that are well on in years that are making decisions, and you're going, what on earth made you think you could do that or say that or act like that? Well, it's a lack of wisdom. According to the word wisdom, the wisdom of God comes when you ask in faith. Wisdom comes when you cry out for it. That's how Jesus increased in wisdom. It says He increased in stature. That word doesn't just mean natural height. It means maturity. Jesus increased in maturity. And we know that this happens whenever somebody comes to what I call the crossroads of spirit and flesh, and you have a decision to make. And every time you choose to yield to the Spirit of God in you, that's a moment of maturity in your life, and you've just increased even beyond your years. But then finally it says He increased in favor with God and with men. How does the Bible say that you and I increase in favor with God and men? Well, this is the scripture I want to read to you, and this is what's going to take us into the rest of this week's broadcast and on into next week. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. I'll read it from the New Living, and it says this, "Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with God and with men." This is what we're going to do on this broadcast all this week. We're going to take kindness, tie it around our neck as a reminder. We're going to write it deep within our heart, because the result of that is an increase in favor with God and with men. My friends, this is huge. This is so big. We've not made a big enough deal out of the kindness, the power, the life-changing power of the kindness of God in you, filling up in you and overflowing out of you onto the people around you. I'm out of time, but don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
You have an unbreakable bond with God in the blood of Jesus that is full of love, kindness, and mercy. The Kindness and Mercy Package includes The Covenant Made in Blood, a CD series and study guide by Kenneth Copeland, and Welcome to the Love Show, a CD that reveals God's love for the world by Jeremy Pearsons. Covenant Made in Blood by Kenneth Copeland shows you the reality of God's unfailing promises to you. Exercise the authority He has given you. Experience His protection. Be strengthened to overcome anything you're facing. Welcome to the Love Show by Jeremy Pearsons emphasizes why your breakthrough and victory draws others to God. Jesus shines, and His love is evident to others who are hurting, looking for answers, and seeking direction. receive the life-changing blessings of your covenant with God today. Let kindness and mercy rule in your household. Order the Kindness and Mercy Package, receive the CDs and study guide for only $29.99 and enjoy a special savings of 25%. Simply log on to kcm.org/TV special and request your package today. Enjoy the peace that comes with knowing the blood of Jesus has reconciled you to God forever. For an additional 10% off, order your package online. Order today.
Covenant Made by Blood by Kenneth Copeland. This CD series and this study guide that goes along with it, these are really foundational teachings for Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I mean, this is what this ministry is built on. It's what the Word is built on. And there's something in particular in here that has really impacted my life personally. It's a CD all about the chesed, the mercy and the kindness, the power of God. Get this into your life. I mean, Jesus Himself, He is the statement of the mercy and the forgiveness, the loyalty and the grace of God. He's a picture of it. And you've got a covenant with God, and He loves you. He wants to show you this kindness. He wants to show you this mercy. And it's going to establish something between you and God, the love of God. It's so great. And nothing in this world can ever sever it, and nothing can compare to it. When you order this package, you're also going to get this CD. It's mine. It's called Welcome to the Love Show. And I'm excited about this message. It's one that I preached in Manchester, England. It was powerful, and I want to share it with you. So let kindness, let mercy rule in your household. It'll change the atmosphere. Begin to teach your children while they're young. This is what we're doing in our home right now. Teach them these things, and let this be the contributing force and factor in your home. I also want to let you know about something that's very exciting to me. This is a brand new magazine that my wife and I, Sarah and I, have released in our ministry called The Legacy Letter. We've got 2 issues out now, and it's available to you absolutely free. You can go to our website, pearsonsministries.com, sign up to receive it free in the mail. We'd be glad to send it to you. You can also look at it there online. But we're so excited about it. The Lord has really ministered this to us, and I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. Hey, listen, make sure you're getting the Word of God going in your eyes and in your ears all the time. Stay up with KCM. There are so many ways. KCM has created so many resources to get the Word into you. Our Roku channel, if you don't know about that, check it out on kcm.org. And then, of course, everything there at the website is there to get the Word in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, join me again on this broadcast tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. Thanks for watching today. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. The Believer's Voice of Victory is available on DVD or CD at kcm.org. You can also view the webcasts online at your convenience or download them as video or audio files. Continue to grow in God's Word and build your faith with this week's product offer. These Word-based teachings will help you live in victory. Order your copy today. Receive the great grace God is abounding toward you and live in the blessing.